Oh, good morning. Shall we just pray before I start? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit who opens up your word to us, and we just pray that you will speak to us this morning, that we will take joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as it's the second Sunday in Advent, we're focusing on the prophets, those people who, over the ages, God has called to see and hear what he is doing in the bigger picture. And today we're spending some time with Isaiah. But first, I wonder if you have an Advent calendar this year, or perhaps you've given one as a gift. So I thought we'd start with a little quiz, but there's no wrong answers on this one. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of different Advent calendars advertised in the last month. So here's our question. Which Advent calendar would give you the most hope and joy? And the options are in strict alphabetical order. Cheese, A. Chocolate, B. Fill it yourself reusable for the environmentally friendly option, C. D. Scripture text with images, and lastly, wine. So let's have a vote. So choose now, now's the time. And we'll go with a show of hands. So firstly, cheese. Anyone? One for cheese. Okay, I know there's somebody else in church who's not here who's also would probably vote for cheese. Right, B, chocolate. Oh, yeah, quite a lot there. Somebody's put two hands up. C, fill it yourself. Oh, it's quite a lot of fill it yourselves. Okay, good for you. Right, D, scripture text. Yeah, I think some people might be voting twice here. And E, who's going for wine? Okay. So somehow these daily tidbits make the waiting a little easier. They're tokens of the whole celebration to be enjoyed in its fullness on Christmas Day. At any time in our lives, we're waiting for so many things. Some of them are trivial, like the plumber or the train. Some are more significant, like a baby's birth, or medical tests, or unanswered prayers. And for some who are living under terror and oppression, waiting is in a completely different league. Let's see what God says to us through Isaiah, the man with the bigger picture, who speaks into a situation of apparent hopelessness. So from our passage, verse 1 grounds us in history. Moving on to verse 2, his message lies in verses 2 and 3, with the dawning of light and the hope and joy it brings. And then Isaiah explains three amazing reasons why this hope can be found in dark times, reasons that mean that we also can find hope today. So just to locate him, Isaiah, in history, he started his ministry as a prophet in 739 BC, and he's speaking here in our text a few years before the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by Assyria. This prophecy comes to those who are being warned of imminent national destruction. There seems to be no hope for the northern kingdom. Isaiah has already been prophesying that the land will soon be overrun. The only certainties seem like desolation, pain, and death. Nevertheless, Isaiah, the man who sees the bigger picture, prophesies a time of hope, joy, and security. For those people of Israel to whom Isaiah's words were originally addressed, they did not, like us, have the benefit of hindsight. They were in the middle of a very dark period, and there was no ready answer. Sometimes as I chat to friends, I hear them say, I've stopped listening to the news, it's just too depressing. And I can certainly relate to that myself sometimes. We find ourselves in a world that broadcasts on many channels, in many different forms of media, and so many of those can induce hopelessness. We all know too well the darkness and distress are real to us. To others we love, we all suffer pain. But critically, today's passage speaks of another reality that coexists with this darkness. So as we watch, read, or listen to the news, feeling that hopelessness, nevertheless, this other alternative news, there's a news thread that is also speaking. It may not be normally broadcast on the usual channels, but the voice goes out nevertheless. So let's tune in now to listen to this broadcaster's announcements with an imaginary publication I've called the Sunday Herald. So may I invite you to join me on a brief trip on a canal boat? We've been going along quietly, enjoying the scenery, and now we're just entering a long tunnel. We can't go over it, we can't go under it, we can't go round it. We've got to go through it. So long and windy, we can't see the far end. Our eyes are becoming accustomed to the dark. Chug, 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 as we make our way along with just our own boat's dim light. But eventually, we think we can see some reflections ahead in the water, and yes, they become stronger, and then rounding the bend, we see the light in the distance. Feel a sense of relief, the slight relaxation of the breathing, and a few minutes later, we take a deep breath of fresh air as we make it out to the other side and enjoy the green trees along the bank as we journey on. We've all been through such dark periods and experienced the relief of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and then the joy of entering the fresh air again. Isaiah, the man with the bigger picture, his message of joy is for those of us who are walking in darkness. Whether that be our own personal darkness, darkness we are sharing with loved ones, or the contextual darkness of finding ourselves in a world that just doesn't look hopeful. You, and perhaps the best brains of Britain, cannot see either light or a way out of the tunnel, cannot see any way forward, and no solution or comfort presents itself. So just like those first listeners of Isaiah's words, in a context of hopelessness, we'll now look at the reasons for that hope that Isaiah, the man with the bigger picture, has described in verses 2 and 3. And the first reason is described in verse 4. So let's look at the next news headline. The first reason that Isaiah gives for that joy is and relief is that God has broken the rod of the oppressor. The bar across their shoulders has been shattered. And so in verse 4, Isaiah refers to the Midianites and the battle that was fought there. As described in Judges 6 and 7, the Israelites were living in hiding from their enemies, the Midianites. But under Gideon, a normal guy whom God had called to the task, a united army of just 300 men defeated the Midianites. But this ridiculously small army was used by God to show that it was he who did the defeating. In Judges 7, before God reduced the size of the army to 300, he had said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me." The message Isaiah gives that the people walking in darkness can have hope is founded on God who fights for them. It is not their strength, their fearlessness, their clever tactics or battle skill. Instead, there was a unity of purpose, trust, and obedience in God's direction. So the hope that God gives is based, firstly, on his doing the delivering. It doesn't sit comfortably to realise that each of us, without Christ, is in a hopeless, wretched state. The Bible teaches there is not one righteous person apart from Jesus. Knowing Christ as our deliverer, however, the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans that through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we may have hope. The opportunity is with us this morning to turn to him again, or for the first time, and know more of the hope which he has called each of us to. The second reason Isaiah gives for those walking in darkness to have hope and joy is found in the next verse. So we'll have our next headline, please. Following on from the defeat that God has brought into being, there is no longer any need for war equipment. The battle is fought and the war is ended. We remember that on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." These were the words of one who was victorious despite every visual evidence to the contrary. Yes, his body was disfigured. Yes, his life was ebbing away. Yes, many of the people jeered at him and it looked like his integrity was shot as he couldn't or wouldn't even rescue himself. Yet, in spite of everything, on the face of it, looking like utter failure, we know in reality it was finished. And he was not finished. He was raised to life by the Father. And with his finished work, our military budget can be abolished. The war is won because he who is named Prince of Peace is the one who reigns in our lives as believers. This is a second reason Isaiah gives for why those walking in darkness have discovered joy. The man who sees a bigger picture prophesies that a time is coming and has now come when the fight is decided for good, a reason for hope and joy. And so when we come to Isaiah's third reason for rejoicing, we know him already, this Prince of Peace. He is the one promised from centuries before, who came at just the right time. In Romans, Paul says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This child, introduced to us by Isaiah, who possessed kingly character right from his birth, before he even had a chance to do anything. This child, who we know as the Anointed One, is given by God, given to us to humanity. Did we know we needed a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace? Whether or not we were aware of it, God knew we need this. We need Christ. And Jesus obediently and humbly brought us to the fullness of God in bodily form. So the third reason for hope in dark times is that Christ is promised, and he came right on time. As Christians, there is no power vacuum in our lives. Instead of the oppressor's rod being on our shoulders, the government will be on his shoulders. This is our joy and relief and our light at the end of the tunnel. instead of living in hiding under the oppression of the things we battle with, the war has been won in the weakness of the cross. Christ's victory is our reassurance and security. Instead of insecurity and defeat, God gave us, even before we knew we needed him, one who is anointed as the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, to become our joy in the dark. When the headlines around us shout injustice, crisis, tragedy, and disaster. And if we can have our final headline, please. There is another broadcast going on, 24/7. We could call it the Daily Herald. It's the one Isaiah was attending to as he saw the bigger picture. So let's tune ourselves in to that good news that is derived from the heart of God and being worked out every day in communities like ours, where Christ brings hope and is celebrated as the anointed one bringing the light of dawn, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.